Chapter 1. Bravery is about moments. Life is a succession of moments. To live each one is to succeed. Carita Kent. Your moment is coming. It will be a time of testing for you, of belief, character, will, strength, vision, and how you respond could prove an inflection point in your life, for better or worse. However, your moment is probably not some major life change or big public decision. Rather, it's likely to be a small, private test. For example, your moment could be a difficult conversation that needs to happen, even though it's very uncomfortable. Or it may be the chance to give an important presentation to win a client, even though you are worried about getting it wrong. Or it may be the opportunity to share an idea that could be rejected. Or it may be hitting send on an email to a friend with whom you need to reconcile. The difference maker for you in your moment of testing is bravery. If I had to choose one gift to impart upon every person I meet, one master key that unlocks their potential, it would be bravery. We need radical bravery in our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods, and God help us, in our politics. If more people committed to making brave choices daily, we would see stronger, more effective teams, less corruption, less unhealthy conflict, and more progress on the societal issues that truly matter. Organizations need leaders committed to cultivating a culture of bravery and who themselves are making brave choices rather than cowering in self-protection. The marketplace needs more business owners who are willing to step up and do the right thing for their employees and their communities, even at the risk of personal cost. And society needs more people to cultivate brave, empathetic relationships with people who think differently from them. My ambition with this simple little book is to inspire an epidemic of everyday brave action. If you spend time considering the ideas and prompts within, you will learn the fundamental mechanics of rising to the moment instead of succumbing to it. You will learn to lead others in a way that cultivates an environment of brave action. You will learn how to communicate in moments of uncertainty in a manner that unleashes the potential in others. You will discover how to infuse courage into everyday decisions. You will develop the habit of bravery. The word bravery tends to conjure images of storming beaches or running into buildings to save innocent victims. Yes, those acts are certainly brave. However, it's important to distinguish between bravery and heroism. While I probably wouldn't call you a hero for challenging your manager, doing so certainly requires bravery, especially when your job or organizational standing might be on the line. So while heroism is rising to an exceptional occasion, perhaps at the risk of your own life, bravery is a habit that can be trained to prepare you for those everyday moments when your mettle is tested. I believe that your best, strongest, and most contributive days are still ahead of you if you are willing to meet the test. Will you choose brave? Will you rise to the occasion or be filled with regret? Will you respond with bravery or with cowardice? For the record, I understand that the word coward is polarizing. It may be one of the worst things you can call someone. We don't celebrate cowards or write songs about them. Cowards are often shunned and expelled from positions of responsibility. Cowards aren't trustworthy because cowardice is choosing self-protection over doing the right thing. This means selling out your deeper aspirations for the sake of comfort, ease, and temporary reprieve from the uncertainty of the moment. Cowardice is the very definition of selfishness, whereas bravery is selfless. While someone may appear brave to observers, if their actions are rooted in self-protection and selfish ambition, they may simply be acting boldly, but not bravely. Saying big words and making bold moves isn't necessarily brave if it's only to serve yourself. And this is why we don't trust cowards. We never know when their self-interests may become misaligned from ours, and they'll throw us under the bus in order to protect themselves. They are not deemed worthy of trust, and even if we might find some alliance with them for a season of pursuing common ambitions, we are under no illusion that they are actually an ally. I've spent most of my career working with professional problem solvers. They go to work each day knowing that they will be confronting uncertainty, resolving difficult issues, inventing, designing, arguing, and presenting ideas to always critical and sometimes hostile audiences. These creative professionals often make leaps of intuition without a guarantee of success on the other side. This requires bravery. However, as many people progress in their career and have more to protect, reputation, income, relationships, they sometimes begin to shy away from big moments. They become more risk-averse. They seek stability over challenge. They hoist their finger in the air to see which way the wind is blowing before making decisions. Ironically, those with the most influence often become the most risk-averse. Every great organization began with someone taking a risk and creating something of value in spite of the odds. Then, once they have something to protect, many organizations huddle up, turn inward, and design their systems to protect what they've already done instead of seeking new frontiers to conquer. In my experience, this often happens because the key leadership has become disconnected from the core values that drove the organization to achieve greatness in the first place. They have lost sight of their first love. Throughout The Brave Habit, you will discover A, what is worth taking a risk for, and B, the price you are willing to pay for it. Your answers to these questions will determine whether or not you are poised for action when your moment comes. Courage versus bravery. While courage is a popular topic these days, the discussion about it tends to feel inaccessible and impractical. It's like describing having vision or being likable or being smart. We all aspire to have these qualities, but how do we achieve them? For purposes of this book, I will distinguish between courage and bravery. It's my belief that bravery is the active form of courage. Or to put it a different way, courage is a resource at the ready, and bravery is the choice to deploy it in a moment of need. As C.S. Lewis wrote, courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point, which means at the highest point of reality. It is at the testing point, in the moment of uncertainty, where we choose to deploy courage through brave action. This means that bravery is a discipline rather than an inevitable outcome. Bravery is not a personality trait. It's a decision you make. And, like any difficult thing that we choose to do in life, our capacity for acting bravely in important moments can be developed like a muscle. By practicing brave decisions in smaller, less consequential moments, we train ourselves to be ready to act bravely when the stakes are higher. Of course, when the stakes are higher is a relative term. What feels risky to one person may be commonplace to another. A bodybuilder will look at a 200-pound barbell and snicker, while to someone new to strength training, it will pose a challenge. Sharing an outlier idea in a meeting or to a client might seem like an overwhelmingly risky thing to one person while feeling like an afterthought to another. Each person's perception of risk is different, which means that brave action cannot be objectively measured. And as the perception of risk shifts for a person, so does the definition of brave. When I was in my early 20s, I was terrified to speak in public. For some reason, each time I attempted to share an idea, it felt like someone was grabbing my tongue and confusing my thoughts. I was so afraid of getting it wrong that I couldn't think clearly enough to get it right. Something shifted for me when I was in my 30s. I had experienced enough public speaking moments and failed enough to understand that the risk was nowhere near what I imagined. I even came to enjoy opportunities to teach. After getting my reps in for several years, I now routinely speak dozens of times per year to crowds of thousands of people at a time. It's one of my favorite things to do. I've even spoken to hundreds of thousands of people at once. So when I was in my 20s, stepping into a room of 20 people and delivering a talk was an act of bravery. Now, stepping onto a big stage and speaking to 5,000 people isn't, because my perception of risk has shifted greatly. Your calculation of bravery will change as you grow in wisdom and experience, which means that in order to continue growing, you have to find new ways of developing the brave habit. Throughout this book, you will be challenged to see small moments throughout your day as opportunities to engage in brave action. For example, you don't want to speak up in a meeting and share an idea because you are concerned about how others might receive it, or about whether or not the idea is good enough to be introduced. At the heart of this is a desire to protect your reputation, but that may come at the expense of the team's work and the overall pool of ideas it has to choose from. When others start talking negatively about a teammate, you initially have a twinge of conscience that prompts you to either stem the conversation or just leave. However, you're concerned about how it might look to others if you walk away, and you don't want to come across as too good for everyone else, so you just go along with the group. While you regularly have flashes of insight and intuition that you want to follow, it's easier to just do the work that doesn't raise any alarms or challenge any conventions. The net result is that you produce work that's good enough, but certainly not reflective of the kind of work that you could probably do if you were willing to take a few more risks from time to time. Your relationship with your partner has been growing stagnant for a long time, and you both know, even if you won't acknowledge it, that the status quo can't hold forever. However, you've both settled into a pattern that's comfortable to both of you, and you don't really fight much. So rather than rocking the boat by having a pointed conversation about the trajectory of the relationship, you simply allow things to coast along. Or finally, you have a product, a book, an essay, a design that's been sitting in a drawer for months, but it never seems like it's the right time to share it with the world. You were initially very excited about it, but lately you've been talking yourself out of sharing it because it just doesn't have the same shine that it initially did. You convince yourself that it's probably not that good anyway, and that it would just be a waste of time to share it with others. Any and all of these examples are moments when you choose comfort over cause, intent over action, cowardice over bravery. Am I telling you should always share an idea when you have it, or that you should always take it upon yourself to correct the group when they're talking about a teammate? Of course not. However, those moments, as insignificant as they may seem at the time, are vector-changing with regard to your character. Action and consequence. You are a person of consequence. What I mean by that is the way in which you move, choose, act, and interact has a profound impact on the world around you. Over time, these choices add up to a lifetime of consequence. Each little choice, or delta, change, may seem insignificant in the moment, but in aggregate, they form a body of work that stands as a testament to your time on this planet. What will that body of work say about you? Will it represent you well, or will you one day wish that you'd stepped up to meet the moment of need, pushed a little harder to make a dent in the world around you, or taken a strategic risk to share that burning idea? It's important to understand that nothing you do or choose happens in isolation. In fact, almost every action you take or a choice you make has a lingering impact on the world around you, and over time, the impacts of those actions are exponential. There are people you will never meet who are impacted by the choices you make. An old proverb says that a society grows great when old men, or women, plant trees in whose shade they know they will never sit. I would amend this proverb to say, a community achieves its potential when each person acts as if their choices have a permanent and lasting impact. A community can be a team, a family, a neighborhood, a country, or any group of loosely connected people who are connected by a common goal. As we benefit from the brave choices of others, we are each granted an extra measure of assurance that brave action is possible for us as well. Bravery yields more bravery. Over time, a community's identity becomes defined by its bravery quotient. You raise the expectations within your sphere of influence every time you make a brave choice. You convict others when you act on your own convictions. This is especially important to note if you lead a team. They are taking their cues from your behavior and choices, and when you consistently shrink from the moment, they will take the hint that bravery is optional. When you consistently rise to the moment, they will take note that bravery is the expected norm. Your choices are amplified exponentially by your leadership responsibilities. Now that we've framed up why each choice you make is an indispensable part of your larger body of work, let's begin to look at how to develop your capacity to make brave choices every day. What does bravery even mean? How can you tell if you're acting wisely or cowardly? What's the difference between mere bravado and true bravery? And perhaps most importantly, how can you develop the capacity for brave action in the face of uncertainty?